John chapter 4, starting at verse 27. Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I've ever done. Could this be the Messiah?" They came out of the town and made their way towards him. Meanwhile, the disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him the food?" "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Don't you have a saying? It's still 4 months until harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, 'One sows and another reaps,' is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labour." Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I've ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the saviour of the world."
Thank you very much, Sarah and Dave. And hopefully you've got those passages, particularly the first one that Sarah read, open in front of you, or maybe you've got your Bible with you as well. And there's a little sermon outline in the order of service, if you can see that as well. Well, Johnny's already prayed for us, and that song we sung was our prayer as well, so let me dive right in. One week, a mother was invited to a new toddler group, and the toddler group was going very normally. Children were playing with toys. There were drinks and biscuits for the children, and lovely homemade coffee and homemade cakes for the adults. Then all of a sudden, all of the other adults in the room stood up as one and started singing nursery rhymes at the top of their voice. Well, as you can imagine, this new mother was rather confused by this behaviour. Anyway, once the singing had died down and the children had stopped joining in as well, and everyone sat down again, this mother asked her friend what on earth was going on. "Why on earth do you all stand up and start singing so loudly? What was the point of that? It seemed a bit random and out of the blue." To which the other mother turned to her and said, "As soon as one of us hears the first tinkling of the music of the ice cream van, we all stand up and start singing as loudly as possible to drown out the music so our children don't hear. And then once it's safe, we can all stop and sit down again." And so this rather random behaviour was given a perfectly reasonable explanation. Well, in today's Bible reading, I want us to begin by considering things from the disciples' point of view. Remember what had happened last week. Last week, Jesus and the disciples had come to this well, to Jacob's well, just outside this town of Sychar in Samaria. And Jesus had sat down by the well about midday, and the disciples, being a little bit hungry and thinking Jesus might be hungry too, had headed off into town to buy some food. And now they come back and find some rather surprising events, a bit like that mother at the toddler group. And they too are in need of some explanation, and maybe we are as well this morning. Because they return to find in verse 27 Jesus talking with this Samaritan woman. You can see from their response that they're a little surprised, shocked, or maybe even worse. Just then, Jesus' disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one dared to ask, "What do you want?" to the woman, presumably, or "Why are you talking with her?" to Jesus. None of the disciples plucked up that courage. But that was clearly what was going on in their minds. What on earth is Jesus doing talking to A, a Samaritan, B, a woman? Well, fast forward a little bit to verse 30. The woman has popped off back into town, and then suddenly a whole horde of Samaritans come back following this woman, verse 30. They, the townspeople, came out of the town and made their way towards him. From verse 39, we see it was many of the Samaritans who was coming. It wasn't just a couple who were coming with her, but it was a stream of Samaritans from Sychar making their way towards Jesus. Well, quite understandably, the disciples need an explanation. Since we've been talking about food and lunch and those kind of things, maybe you're getting a bit hungry as well. Well, this passage is a bit like a sandwich for us. In verses 28 to 30, we've got some details about the Samaritans. And then in verse 39 to 42, we've got some more details about the Samaritans. They're a bit like the bread around a sandwich. And then in verses 31 to 38 in the middle, we've got a conversation between Jesus and his disciples, which are the filling. And they're going to explain for us what has gone on in the bread around the outside. We've got a couple of very simple points this morning to help us to unpack this passage. So first of all, Jesus has come to do his Father's harvest work. Sorry, it's a bit of a mouthful, but Jesus has come to do his Father's harvest work. This is the beginning of the explanation that we're getting this morning. Verses 27 and 31. The disciples are a little bit of a loss, aren't they? They come back and find these surprising events and they don't quite know what to talk about. They didn't have the courage to ask Jesus about the woman. And so scrabbling around for something to talk about, they resort to food. That's always a good place to turn, isn't it? They have their bags that they bought their food in from town and offer Jesus some lunch. Rabbi, teacher, eat something. But Jesus has far more important things on his mind. He wants to talk about what is his bread and butter. The disciples have no idea what he's talking about. Verse 32, Jesus says, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Jesus once more stepping into a different level, as we've seen him doing a few times in the last couple of chapters. The disciples are left scrabbling, aren't they? Verse 33. Could someone have brought him some food? Has someone beaten us to it and dropped some food off for him? Has Deliveroo been while we've been away or something? No, says Jesus. It's not time for lunch. There are far more important items on the menu for today. My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. That is what is most important for Jesus. He is hungry to do his Father's will, to finish the work that his Father has begun. And what is that work? What's Jesus talking about? Well, just rewind a chapter or so to chapter 3. Maybe you've got your Bible open in front of you. John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Let me remind us, famous verses. For God so loved the world. Here's the work of God. So loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. The work of God is to save the world out of his love for the world, to gather a people for himself, a people who believe in Jesus, who trust in Jesus, who have received Jesus as the Christ, the Messiah, their Saviour and Lord. Or, as Jesus talks about it here in verse 35, I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. God's work that Jesus has come to complete is to gather a great harvest for his Father, of his people, of believers, of followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. So while the disciples have been off foraging for food, this is what Jesus has been busy doing. He's not been sitting there having a quick nap by the well. No, he's been about his Father's work, far more important even than finding food to fill their stomachs. And shock on shock, who has he been doing that work with? Not another fellow Jew who was resting by the well, but no, with this Samaritan woman. Remember 3:16 again. God so loved the world. He didn't just love his own people from the Old Testament, the Jews. He loved the whole world, speaking about all the peoples of the world. A couple of weeks ago, you may remember that explanation Johnny gave us of chapter 3, verse 36. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Who can be a part of the Father's harvest? Who can be gathered in? Well, whoever believes in Jesus, anyone from anywhere, can be part of that crop for eternal life. This is a familiar metaphor that is used elsewhere by Jesus in his teaching. Jesus coming as the sower, sowing the word, sowing his word, the gospel, the good news about Jesus. That which was spoken about in the Old Testament. Maybe that's what Jesus is referring to here, about those who have come before, who have done the hard work in verse 38. Others have done the hard work before you. The Old Testament prophets sharing the word of God. And now Jesus is coming as the fulfillment of that. And it is about whether we receive him, the word about him, that is of supreme importance. I mean, we saw last week that as far as the Jews were concerned, you couldn't get a more unlikely candidate, in a sense, to be part of that crop that God is so concerned for than a Samaritan, let alone a Samaritan woman, let alone a Samaritan woman, as we saw earlier in the chapter, who had something of a shady past by all accounts. But no, says Jesus, even she is a part of the work that I'm doing, the harvest that I'm gathering in. If there's hope for her, then there's wonderful hope for all of us, wherever we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe we feel we're too far off. Our lives have gone too wrong by Jesus' standards for him to be interested in us. But no, the whole world, whoever, there is hope for us all. And it's not that she's a one-off, a blip, God just extending a very special offer to one individual. No, she's the first fruits of a Samaritan harvest. As she goes back into Sychar, the town, and she begins to tell the other people there, what happens? They don't go, nah, come off it, that's a load of rubbish. No, they believe what she says, and they follow her out to come and see Jesus too. Not just a trickle, but a stream, a flood of them. They urge Jesus, verse 40, to stay with them for a couple of days. They want to hear what he's got to say. They want to hear his teaching. They want to hear him sow the word amongst them. And wonderfully, they too come to believe. God is being true to his word. He is doing his work. Jesus is carrying out the will of his Father, that whoever believes in him and his words will not perish but have eternal life. They're part of that great harvest that will be gathered in one day. That's what we saw Paul speaking about in that second reading from Colossians chapter 1 as well, where he talked about the gospel, the good news, the word about the Lord Jesus Christ bearing fruits and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. This guy Epaphras had gone and been the sower in Colossae and sown the word about Jesus there, and they had responded. And they too had become a part of that harvest. Many of them non-Jews, not even Samaritans, but Gentiles. Because God's word is for the whole world. There is no one beyond the remit of God's word. We can all come to the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in him. And so the sowing is going on, the reaping is going on. Jesus says, I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. You know how it works in normal agriculture. You sow and then 4 months later you have a harvest. Maybe as Jesus is speaking these words, it was 4 months until the harvest. But now, Jesus has come to fulfill the work of his Father. And in a sense, both are going on at the same time. He is sowing, as many have sown before. And now is too the time for reaping. One sows, another reaps. It seems to be going on altogether. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for, he says for the disciples. You've reaped the benefits of the labours of those who have gone before you. It is the time for the harvest to begin to be gathered in, all wrapped up together, pointing us to the final harvest. As we see elsewhere in the Bible, in the last book of the Bible, also written by the Apostle John, a crowd from every nation, tribe, people, and language gathered together, all trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, all a part of the Father's work that Jesus has come to finish off by dying and rising again and enabling us to come and trust in him, just like that Samaritan woman did, to know the forgiveness, whatever our past may have contained. And that offer is available to anyone. What wonderful news for our world, so shattered at the moment by people's different views of one another, people viewing one another as different. And yet God says, in this one sense, we are all in need of the Lord Jesus Christ. And wonderfully, the Lord Jesus Christ is for all, whatever we may look like, whatever our past may contain. We can all come to him. Have you yet come to the Lord Jesus Christ for that forgiveness? Have you yet become a part of that harvest for eternal life? Well, this is the first part of the explanation for the disciples, but as always with Jesus, there's more. Because second, Jesus wants us to help reap that harvest. He wants us to be a part of working towards that harvest, not just a part of the harvest, but once we are a part of the harvest, to be those who will work in the harvest fields. To help Jesus, as it were, to be finishing his Father's work, to be doing his will. We are now part of his people, part of his body, to do his work. And so here, he's commissioning the disciples particularly to do that. And we might expect that. But actually, as he gives the explanation, we begin to see in the actions of the Samaritan woman that she too has become a part of that. She too, in a sense, has been commissioned by the Lord Jesus to be doing a part of his work. You see, Jesus means what he says. The fields really are ripe for reaping. And even this Samaritan woman, who's only known about Jesus for a few minutes, can go and share all that she knows with others and become part of the reaping process as she goes and speaks to the people in the town of Sychar. And she provides a wonderful, a beautiful, yet simple model for us to follow. Maybe you're a Christian and sometimes you feel you don't have the words to say. You don't have a degree in theology, or you don't have any letters before or after your name that make you worthy to be able to tell other people about Jesus, to be able to explain the good news. You think it was for special people like the Apostle Paul and Epaphras and me and Johnny and Joe today. And that it's not something that regular Christians are able to do. Well, surely the Samaritan woman blows that apart. She's never had any training. She's never been told how to do it even. And yet here she is, just speaking of what she knows, inviting first of all. Look at her words in verse 29 that are so helpful for us. Come and see a man. Come and see. It begins with an invitation to meet Jesus. For those of us who know who Jesus is, well, that is a wonderful model for us to follow. We know how wonderful he is. Sometimes we struggle to explain. We think, how on earth can I convince someone? Well, we don't need to convince someone. All we need to do is invite them to meet him and let him do the convincing through his words. It's very similar actually to what happened back in chapter 1 when Andrew first met the Lord Jesus and went off to go and get his brother Peter and dragged him to come and see Jesus too. That's what the Samaritan woman is doing here as well. Come and meet this man. He is the most wonderful man who ever lived. I think that is something that we can all do. It's the wonderful thing that we can do through the Christianity Explored course. If people are still interested in doing that, then do let us know. It's been so wonderful over the years to see people coming to meet Jesus through that course. But she continues, doesn't she? Come see a man who told me everything I've ever done. He's told me everything I've ever done. Now, for the Samaritan woman, that would have been very humbling. It might well have involved a great deal of shame, because as she said that, she knows what is going on in everyone else's minds. They know all about her rather coloured past, five husbands and now living with someone who isn't her husband. They know all about those details, and that would have been springing to their mind. And yet she can honestly and openly and confidently even say, he told me all about that, he knew it all. And yet, he didn't reject me, but he welcomed me still. It reminds us that the Lord Jesus is all about forgiveness. He has come, hasn't he, to save the world. Not in the first place to condemn the world, but to rescue us from our sin. And as we come to him and we are honest and open about our sin with him, which he knows all about anyway, he promises not to judge us, not to turn us away, but to embrace us in his arms that were stretched out on the cross for us and says, I know all about your sin. I came to die so that you might be forgiven, that sin might be fully paid for. Let me pay the price for you. He told me everything I've ever done, says the woman. And extraordinarily, by sheer grace, he forgave me. He took it all away. No wonder the third thing she said, could this be the Messiah? I think she's probably convinced he is by this stage, particularly after the conversation we saw her having last week. And she's more offering, do you think this could be the Messiah after all that I've told you about him? It's not been much. It's only been what she knew. But it was enough. Could this be the Messiah? It was enough, wasn't it, for them to come out with her towards Jesus. It was enough for them to believe in him in some sense. The testimony of verse 42, as the Samaritans say to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. In the first place, after what you said, we believed that he might be the Messiah. But now that we have heard him for ourselves, we know that this man really is the Saviour of the world. Do you see that wonderful movement? The Samaritan woman told her fellow Samaritans all about Jesus, all about her experience of meeting him, of being blown away by his grace and his love. And then she offered, what do you think? She took them to meet him. We can do that by speaking to people about the Lord Jesus, by sharing what we know of his work in our lives, of the forgiveness that we know, being honest and open with people. And saying, yes, I am a sinner. But I know that the Lord Jesus died for me so that I might be forgiven. Come, see what you make of him. And bring them to his word, the Bible. Open up the Bible with them and share some of your most treasured passages. Maybe like that one in Colossians chapter 1 or elsewhere in the Bible. Passages that have spoken to you, to your heart, that you turn to when you're feeling low. When you've got doubts, when you need to be reminded of God's love and grace to you in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he really is the Messiah, the Saviour of the world. Share those passages that speak to you most powerfully. It's been wonderful to see some of the XDB leaders doing that, to share the Bible verses that have spoken to them in the past. And wonderful to see that honesty, that integrity in what they've said, and to share that with the young people of XDB. We can all do that. Just saying what we have come to understand of Jesus' love for us. And sharing that with others. Bringing people to meet him through a course like Christianity Explored, where someone else will explain the good news of Jesus Christ for us. Bringing them along to church. recommending they join in with our services, live streamed on Sunday mornings like this. Or once we're open again, inviting them along to our services, to experience Jesus in his word, the Bible, as we teach it, to experience Jesus in his people as we meet together, which is a bit harder to do at the moment. But bringing them to meet with him, because supremely it will be Jesus who convinces people. We can say lots of things. We can talk of our experience of knowing him, of loving him, of being forgiven by him, of following him, of the way he's changed us. But just remember what the Samaritan said. At first, we believed because of what you said. But now we have heard for ourselves. Now we've heard what Jesus has to say for himself. And we know that this man really is the Saviour of the world. We have experienced what you experienced. We have heard what you heard. God has opened our eyes, our ears, our hearts to become a part of that harvest too, because that supremely is God's work. None of us can convince anyone into the kingdom of God to be a part of that final harvest. Only Jesus can do that. It is supremely his work and the Father's work to do. Wonderfully, he wants to involve us to be a part of that, to be part of the reaping process. But it is all dependent on him and the finished work at the cross of his dying and rising again. That is where the power lies. And we proclaim that wonderful message to others. Yes, in the present circumstances, that is a challenge. But we are in contact with people. We can share the Lord Jesus Christ over Zoom, over WhatsApp, now socially distanced, 2 meters or whatever it might be. We can speak of what we know, what we have experienced, what we have come to know of the Lord Jesus. We can offer it to people and ask that question, could this be the Messiah? Could this be the Son of God? Could this be the Saviour of the world? Could this be the one that you have been waiting for? Could this be the one who has to offer water welling up to eternal life so that we need never thirst again? I know he is. I want you to come to experience that for yourself as well. It is a wonderful message. It is a wonderful privilege to be able to share that with others. Let me encourage us to be seeking to do that as a church family even now, and to be praying towards that time when we can meet together again in our church building as a church family and invite people to be a part of that. Invite people along to our events that we put on for women, for men, for the church family, for whoever, where we simply offer people the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me pray for us now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful picture of people coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ, of being a part of your final harvest. And Heavenly Father, we pray for those of us who are a part of that harvest, that we would long to see others join us, that we might be faithful in sharing the Lord Jesus Christ, so that others too might come to know him as we know him, to love him as we love him, to follow him as we follow him. Please work through us and our words, our humble efforts, for your eternal glory. And we pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.